there's a meeting that ends today, Friday, and the whole idea of the meeting is to make proposals to see how we can move the parliament from the advisory position in which it is now to we have to have co-responsibility for so many things, and then ultimately have core legislative functions. So this is the second stage in a process that will lead ultimately to the ECOWAS Parliament having core legislative functions within the context of the ECOWAS regional integration problem. Now, this is on the basis of a decision that was taken by Heads of State and Government in 2006, asking us to look at to work out a mechanism that will enable community parliament to move away from what it is now, which is an advisory body, to begin to recover some of its legislative function, to perform some of its legislative functions, so that at least they begin to be seen and act as a proper parliament, not as a parliament that will just advise and whose advice is not binding. Now we are moving beyond a non-binding parliament to a parliament whose decisions will be binding on the community.
What are some of the proposals that are under consideration in the meeting?
Yes, Parliament has made proposals in the form of a draft supplementary act, which is being considered by the ongoing meeting that started here in Accra on Monday. And the idea is to see how we can strengthen them, how we can empower them in the areas of supervising, in the area of approving community budgets, in the area of participating in the process of appointing statutory appointees, in the area of involvement in our integration project, so that for all activities, we necessarily have to have parliamentary, at this first stage, co-making responsibilities, but ultimately core legislative functions in deciding where we are going to go. And this is valuable because we have, as part of our objective, the vision of making sure that by 2020, our activities are citizen-driven, citizen-focused, and there is no greater way to ensure this than to involve the parliament, which is the representative of the people, in this process. And by the way, the treaty that set up the parliament did indicate that under the first phase, the parliament will be constituted members of existing national parliaments of existing member states. And then the second stage and final stage, members of parliament would be elected by direct adult suffrage. But the proposal that we have on the ground is based on the cost of doing this now. The proposal is that we should have an electoral college that will elect members of parliament for the parliament of member states as it is now. So that the 115 member parliament will now, members will be elected an electoral college of their peers from member states.
So, Sonny, how effective will the ECOWAS Parliament be once these proposals are adopted and approved by heads of state and government?
If indeed all these powers are granted, heads of state and government have taken a decision that parliament should begin to perform like a normal parliament, the parliament that we know, the legislature that we know. Now, what we are trying to develop here is the methodology for making sure that this happens and how this will happen. That is agreed. And if ultimately, and when ultimately parliament begins to exercise its legislative function, it begins to operate just like any other legislature all over the world, just like any other parliament all over the world. So that means they will have control over the budget, they will have control over projects, they will have control over appointments, key functionaries of the community, and they will have responsibility for deciding projects of the community who will have to go ahead, where we will have to spend our money, and how we will have to spend our money.
How would you react to people who said, since the heads of state made the decision in 2006, it's taken 7 years for this methodology to be considered? Why the delay?
Yeah, because you see, don't forget, we have a shorter experience in terms of democratization. And if you recall, in the last 10 or 15 years or so, we've been battling with issues of non-democratic government in West Africa, a mixture of non-democratic government with democratic government. Now we can look all over and see that there's a reasonable level, a greater number of democratic governments, a greater number of democratic governments in West Africa. But that is one. Two, the idea of making parliament play its role in the integration process is predicated on certain key requirements, one of which is that we need to do a study. And that is the whole idea, that's how this supplementary Act came about. Supplementary Act came about because the Parliament itself now decided to take it upon itself to undertake that study and on that basis propose this draft Supplementary Act that is being considered by the ongoing meeting. So there are processes that should enable us to, that will lead us to taking decisions in one way or the other as to what the Parliament should be doing, how these powers should be considered to Parliament, in what form they will be considered, and the duration of a plan, of a roadmap, if possible, that will lead us to doing this. Quite some time. I must admit that it could have happened earlier, but considering the circumstances of West Africa, I think we make quite some reasonable progress, and we believe that now that we have gotten to this point, we progressively will increase the tempo of activities in marching towards a parliament that heads of state and the people of West Africa desire.